ruins my joke then. I was going to say, I hope they don't get the hump. Anyway. The wise men, you'll notice they've been in the nativity scene since before Christmas. Pardon? You haven't got them out? Oh. Never mind, eh? I always think that the thing missing from the nativity scene, if the wise men have got to be there, I suppose Herod's soldiers ought to be there as well, killing all the children. But they never are. I wonder if anybody going to be brave enough to put them into a nativity scene at some point. So, the three wise men, the Magi, all sorts of different names they give them. It's quite a nice story. And it's easy to understand why perhaps the New Testament scholars have relegated the Magi in Matthew's Gospel, that's the only place it appears, to the realm of fantasy stories. Most ordinary Christians send their Christmas cards and attend church, never knowing, perhaps, that the majority of biblical scholars don't actually believe the wise men existed at all. For all sorts of reasons. It's true that we don't know where they came from. The Bible says that they came from the east of Jerusalem. We perhaps assume that it's Syria or somewhere around there, but east of Jerusalem stretches probably all the way to Japan. It's true that Matthew then wrote that they saw a star in the east and then followed it mysteriously westward. Just think about that for a moment. It's true that we don't really know how many of them there were. Because three gifts are mentioned, it's been assumed that there were three wise men, but there could have been nine, each of them with three gifts or whatever. It's true that in spite of the carol and the little headings above some of the verses, we don't know the names of the three wise men. They might as well have been called Gandalf, Merlin and Dumbledore for all we know, rather than Casper, Melchior and Balthazar. We aren't told when the wise men visited. But because Herod said that all boys under the age of three should be killed, it's assumed that Jesus must have been about 2 years old when they visited. We could go on forever, I'm sure, finding fault in the story. But whether or not the story of the wise men is true or not, I do think, like all the stories in the Bible, we can learn something from it. The wise men from the East can provide a model for us today. What are those lessons? Well, first of all, they made it a priority to pursue or to go after the Lord. The men were not Jews, they were Gentiles. And I think this is the first indication in the Bible that Jesus was available for all, Jews and Gentiles. They had come a great distance, as far as we can tell, and showed a commitment to have a personal encounter with Jesus. In the same way, we can't follow Jesus from a distance. We have to get close up to him and get to know him and see him for ourselves. The second thing that we note from the story is that the wise men came worship Jesus. Right from the beginning in the story, the Magi made the purpose of their journey clear. We have come to worship him. That, of course, should be our purpose as well. Not just at Christmas, but at all times. That's why we meet together in church with our church family. For no other purpose really than to worship Jesus. The third thing that we can get from this story is that nothing could divert the wise men from their mission. They followed the star. When God gives us a dream to pursue, we often have to deal with a King Herod who tries to distract us along the way, to send us in another direction. The wise men truly proved to be wise men, able to discern what King Herod, that he had no intention of furthering their mission to worship him, but was following his own agenda to get rid of a rival king as he saw it. See, so many things can distract us from Christmas, from the true Christmas, from Jesus. Whether it's the troubles of life or the tinsel and coloured lights of Christmas, which can become more important than Jesus himself. The fourth thing that we learn from the story, or we can learn from the story, is that they not only worship Jesus with their words and their time, but they also worshipped him with generous offerings. We read, when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They came with gratitude. And if we have a genuine encounter with Jesus, we can't help being grateful for that encounter, for that meeting with him. And encountering Jesus should be our reason for giving of our time, our money, and above all, our love. Love for him, love for each other, and love for all. The fifth thing that we can get out of the story is that they return home another way. See, whatever you think about Jesus, I think he came into the world for one reason, and one reason only. I believe that Jesus came into the world in order to change both it and us. And I know, and I'm sure many of you know, that following Jesus transforms us and will transform us and cause us to walk on a different path to that on which we started. Now, some people say that they hear God talking to them directly. Some say that they feel God directing their path. Others follow a particular path through advice from other Christians. We follow God, or follow Jesus, for all sorts of different reasons. And as we genuinely try to follow Jesus in this new year of 2018, I pray that your life will be changed and become more fulfilled. And as we move, as we are doing, from Christmas into the new year, again I pray that following Jesus gives you a fresh revelation of his love to you. Because believe me, Jesus does love each one of you. Let's follow Jesus. It's a real commitment. I will follow Jesus. But more importantly, perhaps, let's do it together.